Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Good morning, in case you're in Australia. It's my delight to be with you today as we're going to uncover step six together. We're now reaching into two of the shortest steps that are often overlooked. And I have to confess that I didn't really read them. I took on what I thought was the right thing to do. And I just want to share with you that we were entirely ready to have us remove our defects of character. Now, of course, it doesn't say that in step six, but this is what happens to me, and I don't know if it happened to you or not, about the idea that I'm going to have self-improvement. Now, it may sound nice on top of, may sound responsible, and there is some improvement that's going to be there. There's little freedom. And what the step really asks us to do is to become ready. And we're going to get into that in my talk, to have God remove these defects, not me. You see, my problem has always been me. And we used to have a speaker here in Canada who I adored when I first came in. He said, "You're the only problem you ever have in your life, and baby, you're the only solution." And that has stuck with me for over 50 years. I couldn't imagine what it meant way back then, but I sure know now. So I want to take you back. I can't remember exactly what year, but I think it was a Monday morning, early, and sitting at my kitchen table. Coffee I made before the house was awake. A legal pad, yellow, the cheap kind, the kind you buy with three for a dollar, a pen I'd borrowed from somewhere and never returned, and a list I was writing with real conviction. I remember the feeling in my hand, not the coffee, but the pen, because I was proud of what was on that page. I had divided it into columns, things to stop, things to start, things to become. I had drawn lines and I used categories. I had numbered the entries. And at the top of the page, in letters that looked like they meant something, I had written step six. It took me a long time to understand what was wrong with that page. It was an effort. It was not the problem in recovery. It wasn't the categories. A man who has lived as I had lived needs to think carefully. What was wrong with that page, and what I could not see that morning, was the hand holding the pen. The hand was still mine. So I want to talk to you tonight about step six and about how I mistook it completely the first time through, about the particular seductiveness of self-improvement and how it wears the face of responsibility, of seriousness, and of a man finally getting it together, about why I is the problem in that sentence, about what willingness actually is and what it isn't, and about why this step, quiet, humble, unspectacular, may be the hinge everything else turns on. Step six again reads, "We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character." And I had read that sentence a thousand times. And for years, without realizing it, I read a different sentence. I read, "We're entirely ready to have all these defects of character." Excuse me, we're entirely ready to remove all these defects of character. One word missing: God. That word changes everything. It changes the subject of the sentence. It changes who's doing the work. It changes the whole relationship between me and my defects. Because when the sentence says, have God remove, I am not the agent. I am the one who becomes ready. I am the one who allows, who clears space, who stops protecting what should be taken. That is a very different posture from a man at the kitchen table making columns. Here's what I think happened. In step three, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. That was real, and I meant it. But somehow, between step three and step six, somewhere in the work of inventory and admission, and all that honest and difficulty looking, a thought arrived. A thought that sounded like wisdom. The thought was, now I know what the problems are. Now I can fix them. That thought was not small. That thought undoes the decision of step three without making a sound. Because step three said, I will no longer run my life. And step six, the way I was approaching it, said, I have a plan for my own life. Both cannot be true. This is the trap. And it is a sophisticated trap because it looks nothing like the traps we recognize. It looks like growth. It looks like seriousness. It looks like a man who has done his inventory and is taking responsibility. But responsibility without surrender is just self-will wearing a better suit. The suit was mine. The tailor was me. I have a specific defect that I want to use as an example here. Pride. The particular kind that does not announce itself, the kind that sits quietly inside competence and control, and the insistence on doing things right. The kind that never looks proud. Just looks, it has opinions about how everything should be done. And when I wrote pride on my step six list, when I put it in the column of things to stop, I sat with it for a moment and thought, I will be more humble. And then I made a plan of how to do that. I did not notice the irony. I had just used pride to eliminate pride. That is the self-improvement trap at its most elegant. The defect does not disappear, it just changes its assignment. It goes from running my life openly to running the project or of fixing my life. And the program calls for something specific. It calls it self-centeredness. Not because wanting to improve is wrong, but because putting me at the center of my own restoration, making both the patient and the surgeon, is exactly the posture recovery is asking me to give up. Step six asks me to be entirely ready to have God remove. Not entirely ready to remove, not entirely confident that I can manage it, not entirely informed about what needs to go. Ready and willing. And out of the way. So, what is willingness? I've thought about this for a long time. Willingness is not enthusiasm. Some of us will approach this step with our hearts open, grateful, moved by what step four and step five reveal. Some of us will approach it the way I approach most things in early recovery, with one foot in and one foot out, hoping nobody notices. Both of those are fine. Willingness does not require feelings. Willingness is a consent. It is an inward movement of opening what was closed. Not all the way, not permanently, just I am no longer blocking this. Think about a fist. A clenched fist does not always look like a weapon. Sometimes it looks like a man holding on for dear life. Sometimes it looks like someone protecting what little they have left. Sometimes, and this is one that caught me, sometimes it looks like someone gripping a pen, getting things done, making a list. A clenched fist cannot receive anything. Willingness is the opening of that fist. Not because you've decided that you are holding is worthless. Not because you're convinced yourself that God is trustworthy and this will all go well. Not because the game or the fear is gone. You open the fist while the fear is still there. And sometimes, many times in my experience, the willingness is not full, not entire. You are willing in part. You can let go of this one, but not that one. You would hand over the obvious ones, but the subtle ones, the ones that served you for 40 years, those you would like to keep negotiating about. And the program has an answer for that. We ask for the willingness to be willing. That sentence is given me by a man who had been sober longer than I had been alive at the time. And it was the most practical spiritual instruction I've ever received. Because it means even the willingness is not something I manufacture. Even the opening of the hand is something I can bring to God as a petition. I do not have to be fully ready before I ask. I ask in order to become ready. This is not a loophole. This is an actual mechanics of the step. I want to say something about the word entirely. The step does not say mostly ready. It does not say willing in a significant cases. It says entirely. And I spent a long time uncomfortable with that word. Because I was not entirely ready. I had reservations. I had one or two defects that I suspected might be load-bearing walls, things I had constructed my whole sense of self around. And I was not sure what would be left of the house if the house came down. But here is what I eventually understood. Entirely ready does not mean entirely certain. It does not mean without fear or reservation or the occasional backward glance. Entirely ready, I am no longer in active resistance. There is a difference between fear and resistance. Fear is human. Fear comes with us everywhere, but resistance is a choice. It is an active decision to block, to protect, to keep the defect, because some part of me still believes I need it. Entirely ready means the resistance has stopped. And this is where step six becomes the preparation for step seven. Step seven asks God to remove these defects or these shortcomings. But you cannot ask to have something removed that you are secretly gripping. Step six is the unclenching. Step seven is the handing over. They're not the same gesture, but they are the same direction. I want to go back to that kitchen table. Not because I'm proud of what was on that page, but because of what happened after. I showed it to my sponsor. I brought the legal pad and columns and categories, a number of entries, and laid it on the table between us, like I was presenting a business plan. He looked at it for a moment, and then he said very quietly, and the way he said things were, they were meant to land slowly. Who's doing the work? Four words. Who's doing the work? And I understood, not all at once, but in the way things arrive when they're ready to arrive, slowly, then completely. I had not written step six. I had written a personal development plan. I had written a memo to myself about self-optimization. I had written the kind of document that belongs in a filing cabinet labeled things I intend to do by my own effort. Steps says entirely ready to have God remove, not entirely ready to get rid of. The hand has to be open. That morning, I put the pen down. I left the legal pad on the table. And I sat for a while without writing anything, without planning anything, without producing anything, which for someone like me was a small act of surrender. And in that stillness, in that particular quiet that only comes when you stop managing, something shifted. Something that I could not have scheduled or engineered or put in a column. Something became possible. I don't know what to call it except willingness. Not the word I've been using for it, the real thing, the hand opening, the resistance, just for a moment, going quiet. The old project, the project of fixing John C. by the efforts of John C., settled itself down. Step six is not spectacular. It does not have the dramatic weight of step one or the evacuation of step four or five. It sits quietly in a sequence. It asks for no great confession, no new inventory, no admission to another human being. It only asks, are you ready? Not, are you capable? Not, are you certain? Not, have you developed a strategy? Are you ready? And if the answer is not yet, if there is still something you're gripping, some defect you are not ready to put down, the program does not cast you out. It gives you a prayer. Ask for the willingness to be willing and trust that God who received your step three decision is the same God who can receive this one. The kitchen table's still there, so is the legal pad. Put the hand that used to grip that pen, that hand knows something now. It
5 minutes,
knows.
John, please.
Okay. Step six is not humiliation. It is the end of the project. And I thank each of you for your generous listening. I will be putting in the chat the documents of five questions if you want to ruminate and reflect on some questions around step six. I'm just going to put that in the chat now. And thank you. I'll turn it back to Tom.